It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at the rally in Royersford at McGurk's, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. T.O. will be here at 5 o'clock, right up here with us and Hugh Douglas, the first meeting since the fight years ago. Very excited. And also very excited to once again, for another season, welcome Brian Baldinger and Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, what's up, man?
Baldy!
Hi, Mike. Good afternoon, guys. Good to be with you. Good to join you again this year. I'm like everybody else. I'm excited about being inside the stadium to do the national radio tomorrow on that game and kind of watching the banner unfurl, although I guess the Eagles aren't allowed to watch that or enjoy it. They've already had the confetti fall, so that's it's interesting. But anyways, it's gonna be a lot of fun to kick this thing off tomorrow.
Yeah, Baldy, what did you think about that? Not only are they not going to be out there, Nick Sirianni pretended like he didn't even know the banner was being unveiled. A bigger question about a lot of the Eagles have talked about not acknowledging last year and moving forward and all of those sorts of things. Like, how effective are those mental games that players try to play on themselves to make this season this season?
It's hard to say, but it is just psychological. You know, I mean, that the confetti fell, they had their time to enjoy the Super Bowl and what they accomplished last year, and they've been, you know, pretty consistent throughout this offseason about not really looking back at what they accomplished and looking ahead to this year. And so, I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of that. We don't know how effective it's going to be. We know how difficult it is to repeat this business. Very few get a chance to do it. And so that's their focus. Their focus is to get back there and win it again. And anything that reminds them of last year might take away from the concentration of getting off to a good start this year.
Yeah, I would imagine they've made a conscious effort to make sure they don't get labeled with a Super Bowl hangover thing them. So they certainly have made that effort. Baldy, when you look at this team, I'm going to put you on the defensive side of the ball as if you're the Cowboys. How are you going in against the Eagles trying to game plan against this Eagles offense with the weaponry that they have?
Well, I think that, you know, the Cowboys have got a legitimate ex-receiver in George Pickens that they haven't had in a long time. He's an exceptionally talented player that wins most of his catches are outside the numbers. And that's where the Eagles, you know, have had to make some changes at safety and at corner. And, you know, I've listened to Vic Fangio like you have this summer. He was waiting for somebody to just nail down that quarterback job opposite of Quinyon Mitchell. And, you know, whether it's Adoree or Keeley or DeCorian, whatever, I mean, they're looking for somebody to win that job. If I was Dallas, maybe I'd go test it and just see just how, you know, if they're up to par on the outside right now. And so I'd take a couple shots with either CD or Pickens and see how that corner is holding up on the outside over there.
Baldy, from the on the offense side, we went through an entire season last year. Like, it was every week we had the same conversation. Can they keep running like this? Do they need to throw the ball? And they did it all the way through to the Super Bowl. So they come back this year. Everybody knows what their identity is as an offense. Do they, like, how much change do you think needs to be there for the Eagles offense? Or do they go in with essentially the same game plan and just dare people to stop what they do?
Well, it's a different guy called the plays in Kevin Petullo, and he's been in the building since Nick arrived, so I don't think it's going to be a great departure. But, you know, Jalen really did a great job of taking care of the football the last, you know, 14, 15, 16 games of the season. And so, I mean, there's going to be an emphasis on that. But every year is a new year. I mean, I'm sure A.J. wants to see Jalen throw the ball 35 times on tomorrow night. And win that style. And I'm sure Jalen is more capable of doing that, but maybe there's more turnovers that come with that. So I think there's a balance with it. I just don't, you know, they averaged 21 throws a game the last 17 games of the season, and that led to a nice Super Bowl win. I don't know that they're going to go in there going, this is our formula. I think every game is a little bit different. You try to find your identity, what you're good at. You know, and you try to get Saquon going. Like, I don't know if he can handle the workload that he had last year. I don't know that any running back is made to do that. So that's going to be part of it as well. It's just how Saquon's holding up, you know, in a year where, you'd love to give it to him 25 times each, you know, each week, 25 touches. And, you know, next thing you know, you're looking up and he's close to 500 touches like he was a year ago. Not many guys can handle that.
Yeah, it is. It has to be so tempting, right? When you got that sort of player, dynamic player at your disposal, to as much as you may want to be a little more creative and get some chunk plays down the field. Part of, I'm sure, with Kevin Petrullo and Coach Sirianni, they say, man, just turn around and hand the ball to 26. And that was a pretty good working formula for us last year. It'll be interesting to see how, I think, Baldy, how teams come in and try to defend the Eagles. Do they try to force the ball into Jalen's hands and see if he can beat them throwing the football?
Well, I mean, I'm sure Dallas is going to take, you know, they got a whole new coaching staff. We'll find out a lot about how they're going to, what they think of Jalen and how they sort of defend the run. Are they going to leave A.J. Brown one-on-one, you know, on the outside against Trayvon Diggs or whoever's out there? Like, I'll put my money on A.J. every single day of the week and twice on Sunday in that matchup. Yeah. But, and all the other guys that have out there, you know, he's just that elite of a player. But, you can load the box. You can do all the things. Dallas has had a hard time stopping the run, period. I mean, if you listen to Jerry Jones this week after the trade, well, we got to do better against run. Kenny Clark helped us do that. Well, all right. I mean, the Eagles didn't have any problem with Kenny Clark twice last year.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, that guy isn't Reggie White in there, okay? I mean, he's a good, solid football player, but he's not going to, it'd be good if their number one pick, Mazi Smith, developed into something, and he hasn't done much so far. So it's been a weakness of theirs. And so why wouldn't the Eagles go exploit that? And then the other part is, when you keep giving it to Saquon, the guy had 7 touchdowns of 60 yards or more last year. Like, that's insane. Like, if you get one of those in a year, okay, you popped a big play. He did it 7 times. And so the more you give it to him, the greater the opportunity or the chances are that he could pop a big run or big play against you.
Yeah.
Brian Baldinger with us. A reminder, Insider Call is brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. So, Baldy, there are a lot of reasons you could point to, like a long list of them, as to why teams don't repeat more than they do. You know, there's health, and then there's a long list. What do you think the biggest reason is that we have not seen more teams repeat? Because we look at the Eagles and we're like, still the same, still the most talented team in the NFL, or you know, one of two or three. What do you think the biggest reason teams don't repeat more is?
Well, I mean, you just go through the history. I mean, I could go back to the Baltimore Ravens when they won their first Super Bowl. And, you know, their star running back got hurt in the first game of the season the next year. And, they were never the same. Injuries are always a factor. The Eagles, although guys did get hurt last year, they basically never got the injury bug. I played on a team one year where 8 guys broke their leg. Like, sometimes you just can't, it starts and you just don't. And we've all gone through those kind of years where the injuries don't stop. So, I mean, the injuries are the biggest thing. But, the Eagles lost their offensive coordinator and a couple of the guys. Doug Neusmeyer's a good coach. They lost some good coaches. Can they replace those? They lost basically a Pro Bowl right guard in Mekhi. Can they replace that? They had to juggle inside during the playoffs with, Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens. And so they've kind of gone through that a little bit already this year. So, they went back and they traded back for Fred Johnson after he had a nice free agent contract with Jacksonville. They were so worried about their depth, up front on the offensive line. So you can caution, if to answer your question, injuries are the biggest factor, and the loss of great coaches usually leads to a team's demise of trying to repeat. But, they're trying to protect themselves injury-wise if anything happens, like it did to Mulata last year. And, Lane's had an issue for a game or two, like each year. So they're trying to protect themselves as much as they can with the depth that they have.
Baldy, one more. We've heard Lane Johnson say a couple times, we even talked to him a couple weeks ago, and asked him, he's mentioned a couple of times, hey, we win it again. I could retire this year. And he's brought up retiring this year a lot. You as somebody, I'm not asking for anything he has said to you, but like, is that real, or is that a guy who doesn't, it was at camp again, and all of a sudden, like, you know, the mountain of the season is before him. Do you think the end of Lane Johnson's playing career is right within our sights?
I don't know. I've heard some other things from Lane about, you know, like, he feels pretty good right now. He's in a good spot physically. You know, a lot of that, if you play to your 38, to your 40, like some of these guys are doing right now, the way he takes care of himself, I don't have any reason to believe that he can't. Now, whether the motivation is, like, I don't think it's a motivation issue with Lane. The guy never stopped working out. Like, he was lifting weights in Oklahoma a week after the Super Bowl. Like, he never really stopped. It's just the way he lives his life. But I do think that if you're looking, because he really wants to walk into the Hall of Fame. He wants to be a Hall of Fame player. He wants to be thought of as one. He wants to retire as one. It's the ultimate goal for him. He was picked when he was the first team All-Pro last year, and rightfully so. He was the best right tackle in football. But, you know, he wants to be a Hall of Fame player, and another Super Bowl would help him cement that, you know, that bust of his in Canton. And maybe that's, if he feels like that's enough to get in, maybe he'll think about retiring. But I don't think he thinks much about it right now, about retiring or not. I think he's just kind of thinking about who is going to rush against him on tomorrow night. I think that's kind of where he's thinking.
Just keeps us on our toes. Now, this is probably the hardest game to predict all year because we haven't seen the teams play.
Yep.
You think, I guess, based on the little that you know, tomorrow night, Eagles certainly a more talented team. You think they win the game tomorrow night?
Yes. I think they win it handily. Like, I don't think Dallas is a tremendously talented team. And I think they're gonna struggle. I mean, they might have Dak when protected, you know, can certainly make his share of throws. I don't think much of their run game right now and the running backs that they have. And so they'll march Javonte out there and Miles and you know, Deuce Vaughn, whatever. I don't know. Like, I just can't see them doing much up against the Eagles front in the run game tomorrow night.
All right, Baldy. Well, excited to have you back this season. Hopefully as successful as last year. But all we can control is your time with us, so that's what we'll do. Thanks, as always, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, guys.
All right.
See you over there tomorrow,
all right, see you, Baldy.
Take care.
All right.
Yep.
That is Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side.
That was good.
It was.
Yeah. Got through it.
Yeah. Well, you wait till the game app. Wait till after a game.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
when I'm seeing stuff, when I'm studying.
Yeah.
When Spike asks questions.
Yeah. Dude, could you imagine Spike's breakdowns on Monday mornings?
Oh, I would love to do it.
Where you're on the...
Just to compete with Baldy?
Yeah, you're looking at the all 22.
Yep.
Hey, I don't know about that, Baldy. That's not what I'm seeing.
I was looking at it.
We need to get them in a room together watching film.
Yeah. Well, there were a couple times last year where he told me I was wrong, and I was just like, I think I whispered to Ike, I'm telling you, I'm right on this.
Like,
I'm right. I'm telling you.
Dude, you were.
Spike's breakdown Monday after the game. 8 a.m. online. I like it.
Live on YouTube. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's Elliot.
I was going to say, Jack enjoyed my breakdown so much.
Yours was nonsense last year.
Mine were awesome until I got tired of using my Apple Pencil and I just gave up on it.
Yeah, what a grinder.
You know, the Lane Johnson thing, talk about if he were to retire after this year, replacing a player of that magnitude is so tough.
Well, especially because they're probably not going to have a top... I mean, if they have a top 10 pick, it's a disaster. Like, they're not going to be able to fill it with a top 5 pick like they were with Lane the first time around.
I think they would trade for somebody.
Who's giving you an all-pro right tackle?
You'd have to pay a ton of money, like a ton of assets and stuff. But you're not drafting Lane's replacement next year, even if you had the number one overall pick. Like, he might eventually become Lane. But let's say they win the Super Bowl or they're really good and Lane does retire. I don't think they would put a rookie or a young player there. They would go out and trade and overpay for a tackle.
What about Fred Jones?
They would not be Fred Jones.
No, Fred Johnson is, yeah. he was fine. It actually shows how good the other offensive linemen were, that Fred Johnson came in last year, and we were all like, oh, Fred Johnson was pretty good.
It also shows how bad most backup offensive linemen are.
Yeah, that Jamon Brown.
Fred Johnson came in. And, now, I will say in his defense, he had a tough stretch of edge rushers, so like his numbers are a bit skewed, but yeah, I agree. He was serviceable last year.
So we have a report from an Eagles insider right here.
Uh-oh. Yep, Eagles insider of the year candidate.
This is per Jeff McClain. Now, we're saying his name. We're saying his name because I told him we would say his
name.
He's
good. Yep.
Eagles rookie Andrew Mukuba told me he practiced full all week. Sidney Brown will start at safety, but Mukuba will likely play some on defense and certain personnel, from my understanding. Adoree Jackson, to no surprise, will start at outside cornerback. So the Mukuba news is that he will be available tomorrow night, I think, is good. And I wonder how quickly they go to him. Like, I wonder how long a leash Sidney has on him.
Well,
I got to be honest with you. And this is nothing against Drew, but he's a rookie.
Yes.
He's a rookie. Rookies make a lot of mistakes out there on the field.
Yeah.
His ability is one thing. Mentally, whether or not he's ready to be out there, understanding formations and things of that notion, and having some form of chemistry back there with the secondary.
Yeah, so my takeaway from that report would be, it's not about Sidney Brown. It's about getting him in on like certain packages.
Certain
right?
packages,
it's not about
the
leash for Sidney. I actually think if Sidney were really struggling tomorrow night, you would almost see Cooper go to safety full-time in the game and then move someone to nickel before you would go to Mukuba. But
you don't think Makuba's safety, huh?
No, I'm saying like in-game tomorrow night, because to your point, Makuba's not practiced much.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He's a rookie. I don't know if they're ready for him to play safety on every play, but he did have an awesome preseason game, and he was getting the first-team reps prior to being injured. So.
Is the Adoree thing going to work out, or are we going to look back?
No.
Because I don't think it's going to work out.
No, Ja'Cory Bennett is going to be out there.
Yeah, I would guess.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And how do you think there's any situation where they'd put Cooper on the outside?
No. Shoulder pad's too big.
Maybe if there was a bunch of injuries, but I don't think they would do it.
I can't have a corner out there with those shoulder pads, man. That dude... He's ready to hit somebody.
All right. I got some other couple.
I need smaller shoulder pads.
I just think
man.
It's taking him away from where he's good at. Yeah.
Couple of over-unders for everyone here. Okay. This isn't an over-under, but it's like the question I asked on offense. Is it more likely that the Eagles' defense is ranked 1 through 4 or 12 through 15?
12 through 15.
1 through 4 or 12 through 15.
End of the season.
I mean, it's closer to 12 to 15 than 1 through 4, probably, right?
So I would say
I think they face better offenses this year.
They're going to be like 8 to 12, hopefully. Yeah.
Well, that's why it's a difficult question.
Listen, so I'm here to present facts.
Oh, is that what you are? You're the voice of reason?
I do have concerns about the defense, but if they take care of the ball on offense, they are going to be put in a lot of advantageous situations. And if you're going to win a lot of games, I would probably say closer to 1 through 4.
Here's the other thing that... We're going to do a lot of this tomorrow, but and it's not like the Cowboys' offensive line is great, but if we can't get pressure on Dak, that puts more pressure on the back end of this defense.
100%. And it worked the opposite way last year.
Yes. To hold up against CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens.
Yes.
I think tomorrow night is a really good early sign of how good the D-line's going to be. I mean, their tackles are not good. Tyler Guyton, one of their tackles, is barely practicing training camp. The other one, Terrence Steele, was one of the worst pass-blocking tackles in the NFL last year. I'm not saying Nolan Smith and Jalen Sun have to go out there and get like 3 or 4 sacks, but if we're talking about this game on Friday and one of the issues was Dak had a clean pocket, that would be, in my opinion, very concerning for what the edges are going to be.
Well, and remember last year there was a very steady rotation of those guys, like where they were, you know, they weren't, you know, BG was playing 40% of the snaps, Sweat was playing.
The edges, now look, they won the Super Bowl, which I know matters to me a lot.
Yeah, it's the only thing that matters.
They were very good in the biggest game of the year, which matters a lot.
Yep.
But also throughout the year, they weren't very good. Like, we were talking about edges at the trade deadline as if, like, they got to go get one.
Yes.
So it did turn around, almost, I would say, unexpected.
Well, Nolan Smith picked up.
Yeah, he played, I think, way better than you could have hoped. Like, when he went in and you told me he was going to get 10 sacks the rest of the year, I mean, that's pretty crazy.
And honestly, Jalix doing what he did, at least in terms of being functional with Brandon Graham going out.
Yeah.
Like, Brandon Graham going out was huge for the team last year. And I almost think, on some level, worked in their favor in that Jalix Hunt got more in-game reps and got experience and an ability for them to think about him as a real piece this year.
Yeah. Now, I do think how Jalix played last year was good compared to what you would have hoped for. If Jalix is that player all of this year,
it's not good enough.
That's not good enough. Yeah. Like his role.
Yeah, expectations have changed.
He has to be better. Yeah. So. And with Nolan, too. Now, Nolan was very good, but if Nolan's going to be the number one edge rusher on a Super Bowl contender, you have to win your matchup against these tackles.
215-592-9494. I have one set of over-unders left. They're the Jalen over-unders.
Ooh.
And we will get to them next.
Held them all purpose.
Hell yeah. Because it's, and coming up at 5 o'clock, a can't-miss event. Terrell Owens, right here with us. Seeing Hugh for the first time since the fight.
Would it be love at first sight?
Will there be a bro hug? Can we get a one-handed bro hug? Can we get that squash? Then we have some great plans for T.O.
Yeah.
Going over some of the great moments in T.O. history.
Yeah.
Maybe having T.O. sing Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that
good
is coming
luck
up.
Good with that one.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll know the words.
He could be a Creedsman.
You never know.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. We're at the Rally in Royers Ford at McGurk's, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks with us until 5 o'clock. We're at the Rally in Royers Ford at McGurk's, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. Coming up at 5 o'clock. Why is Elliot leaving at 5? Well, we will have been sick of him by then, but
yes,
even more importantly, is Terrell Owens and Hugh Douglas join us on stage, the first time face-to-face since that fateful day in 05.
In the training room.
In the training room.
Yeah.
A day in which, if Ike Reese was still here, would not have happened.
Definitely would not have happened.
He would have stopped it. And that's why everything is going to go great at 5 o'clock today.
Yep.
Because Ike is going to be in his rightful place.
Yep.
With two brothers.
Yes.
To the left and the right of him.
I'm actually glad I wasn't there during that time.
Oh, I would ask you about it every day.
Well, I probably would not have been. I mean, I was a T.O. guy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I'm a Donovan guy. So, like, the Hugh thing was something totally different.
That was.
And you're also a Hugh guy.
Yeah, well, you know, Hugh was my brother.
Yep.
So, I don't know how much politicking I would have had to do to make sure I didn't make anybody mad.
Right. Ike fighting everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to make sure we settle things down.
Yes.
You're an E. You were doing it 5 o'clock.
What was Dalt doing, man?
Where was Dalt?
Practicing.
That's a good question. Get him on the line.
In his second locker with this.
That's actually what we're going to do is get all the leaders on the team on the phone and ask them why they weren't there.
We'll get Andy. Call Andy.
Yeah.
What's going on?
The Twitter questions brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Is the Cowboys game tomorrow a must win? Ike, what do you think the response on the poll is?
I would say yes.
I would say yes, too. What do you think the percentage is?
Let's go with 85%.
68%.
Oh, man, I shot high and didn't nail it today.
Should be higher than 68.
Yeah. So why do you think?
I'm surprised
it isn't high. Yeah. What is that?
Well, because people think it's week one, a long
season.
Well,
I thought maybe no one have won. Like, preemptive saying, oh, it's just one game, like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's the Cowboys.
It is the Cowboys.
And they are...
If only won two games all year, Ike.
Exactly right.
Is it a success if it's the two Cowboys
games?
Yes!
Oh, man!
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Who's your least favorite Cowboy?
Yo, is Jerry going to see the better?
You know who my least favorite Cowboy is?
Yeah, give it to me, Ike.
Come on.
Roy Williams.
Well, yeah, he broke T.O.'s leg.
Yeah.
You can ask him about that?
No. I don't think
Roy Williams was which? The receiver or the
or the Kansas coach?
Yeah. Or the safety.
That is a common name. Yeah, you got the Kansas coach.
Yeah, I thought you meant the basketball coach.
No, the number 11. Because Texas Longhorn. Come on, man.
Yeah, the wide receiver, Roy Williams, who went to Detroit.
Yeah.
And then he also played for the Cowboys.
Yeah, traded the Cowboys.
And then you had the safety.
Yeah.
Roy Williams.
Who broke T.O.'s leg.
Yeah, the horse collar tackle. That's where it came from.
The horse collar rule.
Yeah. Are you guys ready for the Jalen Hurts over-unders?
We're trying to prolong this thing as long as possible.
So you don't do the over-unders?
No, T.O. is a big Jalen guy.
Is he a big Jalen guy?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, How could he not be?
Well, him and Cam. Right?
Oh, did they get into it?
I think that's where he was defending Jalen.
Oh, yes. It was
Cam.
On Twitter. They were debating Jalen on Twitter.
You think T.O. thinks Jalen's the best Eagles quarterback of all time?
Well...
Why don't you ask him?
Yeah. T.O.'s opinion on this, probably a little biased, you know.
T.O., is it time to put Jalen ahead of McNabb?
Oh, yeah. All right.
See, that's why we're not going to have
We are
it.
Not
so you're out of here.
That's why I won't be here.
Yes.
Too much not. Journalistic integrity out of you.
All right. Jalen over unders. Are we ready?
Here we go.
Jalen Hurts' regular season passing yards, 3,200.
Over.
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 Wow. Everyone going over. So what did he – in 22, it was with 32. That's
37,
what it was.
Right?
No, it was 3,200, I think. In
oh, that's right, because he missed those last three games. It was 37 the year after that, in 23.
In 23.
Well, yeah. And I also think with a tougher schedule, they're probably not going
to
be as good this year.
Yeah,
he's just going to throw the ball more. I mean, his career high in passing yards, I think, was in 23, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 23 at 3,800.
Yeah. So I would go over.
That's what I'm looking at, 3,800.
He did have 3,700 in 22.
Yeah, 22 at 3,700.
Okay. All right. Jalen.
But I was told.
MVP? Did you make these lines or are these?
No, these are the real lines.
That's the real line?
Yeah.
It's 3,200?
Wow.
Yeah. You'll know when it's one that I made.
Okay.
Vegas is a bunch of idiots.
All right. You want to go to one that I made up?
How many Super Bowls did Jalen really win?
Yeah. All right. How many weeks will it look like? Spike and Jack might have had a point about Jalen. Over or under 2.5?
It does happen once a year.
Yeah.
Once a year, people are like, all right.
I would say
2.5 is the number.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
Now, who's deciding?
I want to say
we'll know.
You'll know.
I want to say 3 games. It'll be at least 3.
See, now, if it happens later in the season, we have less of a chance of people of it going there.
Right.
You know, if they're 10-2 and he's played well. Yeah. Elliot, what's your call?
Over I would say over.
Okay.
But it raises an interesting question. How long of a leash do you think Jalen has with the fan base?
What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying, like, if he has 4 bad games to start the year, do you think people will be calling in defending him, or do you think it'll go back to, you know, he actually wasn't that good in 2024?
I think as a quarterback, you have to perform for the Eagles, and if he doesn't perform, people will be frustrated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I don't think
the longer that goes,
the
harder it becomes to defend.
Yes.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I lived off of 2017 for as long as I could.
Now, if they're winning games,
the first part of that.
Yes.
If they're winning games with him playing iffy, I think he can skate by. But if they start losing games, with, I think that is a completely different
Well, by the way, Ellie, you snuck that in there. 2019, the guy threw for over 4,000 yards. No other quarterback for the Eagles have ever done that. And he did that without having a receiver have over 500 yards receiving.
Thank you.
So I just want to put that out there.
Didn't win a playoff game.
He was throwing to Palmer.
Right, but I'm just saying, look what he was throwing to. Was the point
I thought
I'm
he was
making.
Back that year, honestly.
The point I'm making.
Yeah.
By the way,
drug to the playoffs.
By the way, the gentleman in front of us might be the most afternoon show listener of all time as he's wearing a Blue Chew hoodie while drinking a Surfside. Yep. So there we go. All right.
I hope he brought him with him.
Jalen Hurts, the Surfsides or the?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Okay.
Pause.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, the Cowboys.
All right. Jalen Hurts over under pass TDs.
Ooh.
The line
this is a good one.
The line is 19.5.
Oh, we got to go over, bro.
It better be over.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, it should be.
Wow, Elliott's stressing over
it. I mean, he just does not throw a lot of passing touchdowns. And he did
until
not,
this year.
He did not throw a lot in training camp either.
Here we go. Mr. Training Camp.
I would probably go under.
That's my guy.
I would go under.
You go under 19.5?
Yeah. What did he have last year?
22.
He had 18.
Right.
Listen, bro, I'm trying to validate where my guy is at.
You got to play the long game here. It doesn't matter how many passing touchdowns he throws, as long as they're moving the ball, they're getting in the end zone, and they're winning.
And Jalen, people say total touchdowns. Remember that.
Yeah.
Remember,
I'm just saying it's tougher to make the argument when I'm arguing with 17 or 18 touchdown passes.
He had it last year, and he was obviously great.
And you see and even after winning the Super Bowl, you see how much we've been arguing about this all offseason? It's not like it's been an easy, he's this.
I agree. I don't need to see 19 touchdowns of him through the air for him to have a great year.
Okay.
But I'm going under based off training camp.
19's a pretty low number.
Yes.
Not for him, but not for him.
Okay.
I mean, it's just not how it works.
Over under Jalen rushing TDs, 12.5.
Over.
Yeah, we'll go over there.
Poor Saquon. Saquon glad he got the $40 million.
Did Saquon go down to the 1 8 times this year like he did last
year? I would say that doesn't happen this year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Jalen is somewhere around – that's a good number again. That's your number?
No, that's a real number.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under because I think 12 is the number.
Let me see if
you
I have
any – 12.5, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I think 12 is the number he gets this year.
AJ Brown comments about not getting the ball enough. Over, under, 1.5.
Under.
Under.
One time.
I was going to say at least once.
Yeah. Well, that's why the line's 1.5.
Yeah. I'll go under.
Okay. And I think that's all of my Jalen ones. One more. We'll do. This is Jalen related, but it's not Jalen. Devontae Smith, regular season receiving yards. The number is 875.5.
He was going over.
He was right around 800 last year.
I'm going over.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big Devontae year.
I'm going back to 2022. That's where I'm going.
Did he have over that in 2022?
Yeah, two receivers over 1,000 yards. Jalen over 20 touchdowns, just 6 picks, 3,700 yards. That's where I'm at. I'm in that area.
All right.
I have two more fun ones.
Got 24 passing touchdowns, by the way.
Not Jalen related. Actually, three more. Will Brandon Graham play for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2025?
That's a good one.
Yes.
I'm going to just say yeah for the hell of it.
Okay. Yes.
I'll say no, but okay. it's a great one.
Better chance of happening. BG on the Eagles this year or Castellanos on the Phillies next year?
BG on the Eagles.
BG on the Eagles this year for sure.
Well, yeah. I'm taking your lead on that one, Jack. Yeah. You told me about Bohm. And Bohm's still here, so
he's not the only one that recognizes good baseball players on this.
Show.
NFC East wins over or under 4.5.
Under, I got him at 4-2.
Okay,
in the division,
lost to the Commanders, and then one random loss in there.
I don't know how it happens. Okay. I'm just saying 4-2.
Do they win the division this year?
Yes.
Yes.
So we're going to break the 20.
Yes.
Yes.
Stupid 20-year curse.
Yes.
Elliot, over under 4.5.
I'll go over. I mean, I think the Giants will be better, but the Eagles are considerably better than, I think, all the teams in the division. So I'll go over.
And then final one, significant during season trades, over under 0.5.
I'll go over on this. I do think they have another move they will make.
I agree.
Yeah, I
that
think
will
it'll
be a starter level play.
Is it a corner or is it a safety?
Or is it an end?
Or it could be an edge.
I think it could be an edge.
Again, I'm a 58th man. I'm in on Jalen.
I think safety's
third.
Yeah,
but it might not be enough.
Yeah, but I think you get it. Like, if we're doing an impact player, if those guys are good, then maybe it's another depth piece. Like, they might need a star safety or star corner or star safety.
Listen, I hope Jalix is ready.
Yeah.
I hope Nolan is ready, but they haven't been full-time starters in this league yet.
And Azeez Ojulari, I don't think, had a good training camp preseason. So
215-592-9494. Get your calls right after Jack tells you about our friends at National Appliance Warehouse.
Yeah, listen.
Come on.
One place, I had a lot of questions on this show about how elite one player on the football team is. One place that I know is elite.
National Appliance Warehouse.
National Appliance Warehouse.
A staff full of elite people in there.
Well, again, that's one of the things that set National Appliance Warehouse apart, is it's a staff full of industry-leading professionals there to take care of you. But they're not like, you know, you walk in, they're just there to sell you appliances. They treat you like family. You know,
and sell you appliances.
And sell you appliances. But I'm saying it's not like just like, here, take this.
Yes,
it's a good time.
Yes.
It's a jovial atmosphere.
Yes, and you get the appliances.
And that's also
another
important Bart spike.
Of course.
Over 100 brands, Sub-Zero, Cove, and Wolf. 100 brands from Sub-Zero, all that.
Economy, too. If you can't afford the Sub-Zero, Wolf, and Cove, I get it.
Yeah. 15,000-square-foot showroom. And what we always talk about is you're going to get the best price at National Appliance Warehouse. That's guaranteed by Price Assure, which, again, a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store, finds a lower price elsewhere. Also, tax-free Delaware, stores in Middletown and Wilmington. But on top of that, always great savings events. And, yes, the Labor Day mega sale has been extended at National Appliance Warehouse. So get down there today and take advantage of huge savings. Go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or, again, visit their showrooms in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware. And, as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
Tell them Fritz sent you.
Bang.
So we await T.O.'s arrival at 5 o'clock. And on the screen,
there's a buzz happening in
there
here.
Really
too.
Is, yeah.
And on the screen in front of us, they're playing the Super Bowl, the first Eagles win of the Super Bowl in 2018.
52.
Which happened in 2018, right, Elliot?
I was going to say, you want to get into that again?
Yeah.
You call me a little name?
Yeah. Well, you were there.
I was. I admitted in that instance I was.
All right. So we're looking at Nick Foles, who we had on the show this week, and then we have T.O. And it's just, I'm thinking about these two guys and then thinking about Philadelphia and the reputation of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And it can be a tough place to play. But these two guys, like, are the proof of what it's like when you come here and you do something good. In that the love that people have for Foles, and even T.O. was here for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And he is like beloved in a way that I just can't imagine in another city. A player that was there for essentially a year and a half, did not win a championship, played great in the Super Bowl, but did not win a championship, to come back and get the sort of rousing ovation that T.O. is going to get here. Is it Philly is a one-of-a-kind place.
Well, we were trying to explain to Rod about how T.O.'s loved, and like there's people that don't feel the same way towards Donovan, which is crazy.
Yes.
For how much Donovan's won.
Yes.
But T.O. is the, for lack of a better term or way to put it, he's the one that got away.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
He's the one that a lot of us here, even as former players during that time, but certainly as fans, had been longing for to have at that wide receiver position. And I've said this in the past. Sometimes you don't realize what you had, right? We had more than just a guy that played here 20 games and, you know, scored touchdowns and had celebrations. We had, for a small time, in my opinion, the second greatest wide receiver to ever play. Jerry Rice is the only wide receiver I would put ahead of T.O. You don't have to argue it, especially today. I've always said that. And to have that caliber of player, right? On that caliber of team.
Right.
And not finish it, like finish the deal. Like, people that are huge Eagles fans still revere that time and think about that's the one that got away. That's the Super Bowl that got away.
Because he could have been the way that we talk about Pete Rose's missing piece.
Yeah.
The way that we talk about Moses Malone as missing piece. The way that that season went and the way that he performed, it was truly – and I think the other reason that fans think about him the way that they do is – it was fans all that time saying, why don't we have any good receivers? Why don't we have any good receivers? Why don't we have any good – no offense to the guys who were
here. We couldn't say it because we were on the team.
Right. I guess not – why don't we have a great receiver the way that we had? And it got there, and it was everything that everybody hoped for that year. The
and
team
more.
Was awesome, got to the Super Bowl. By the way, you guys tested not having him during the playoffs, which was another interesting – like. Wrinkle to that story and him coming back after the injury as
so that last part too I think is a big reason or at least a big reason why he's loved here. The work he did to come back, we talk about this with Philly athletes and fans all the time, like they really want to feel like you care as much as they do and that you're giving it your all, and doing the work that he did to get back in that game is a great example of it. Like sleeping in the chamber, playing with a broken leg, signing a waiver that he didn't care. Like, I think fans saw themselves in him in that moment. So as great as he was as a player, for sure, for someone that ended on not a great note, he checked in a major way that, like, gave it his all box with his fans.
And he never severed ties with the fan base.
No. Yeah, it was never about the fans.
Yes, he's always embraced that part. He's been back to Sixers games. He's been back to he was at AI statue revealing. Like, he comes back here from time to time without as much fanfare. So he is still sort of connected to this fan base, and he's always appreciated how the fan base has appreciated him as a player.
And it really is a bummer that things went the way that they did eventually, because, like, you know, we think about that era basically through them.
Yeah.
And who knows from an Eagles standpoint if we have another chance, you know, because they were in the NFC Championship again, you know, against that year against the Cardinals or whatever. Like, that team was not done at that point, you know?
Well, the other thing, too, is to compare him to Saquon a little in terms of just the immediate
impact.
Very similar. Yeah. So the Eagles gave Saquon a check earlier this offseason, and I think there is legitimate debate on, from a football standpoint, was it a smart thing to do to pay him a little bit off pass production? But what I think it accomplished is why they probably should have paid T.O.
Yep.
Sometimes when you have a player, and I'm sure Saquon wanted a new deal, you just got to write the check sometimes. Like, whether or not it was smart to pay a running back, whether or not it's smart to pay him after all those touches, whatever, I do know that they have arguably the best player in the NFL under contract and happy. And I think with T.O., I get the argument. It was 1 year into the deal, whatever. Sometimes you got to break rules for certain players. And I think the Eagles made the right decision this time as opposed to obviously last time with T.O.
Well, and at the time, and look, Joe Banner and Andy Reid made a lot of great decisions here, but they were, I think the organization is different in that, and by the way, the sport has changed a lot in that superstars are viewed in a much more NBA way than they were 20 years ago, yeah. where I think players in general, and I think the leadership of the Eagles probably thought they understood how good players were, but like, we can get another one. We can get another one. Replaceable. They made a lot of decisions. And by the way, a lot of the decisions were right. They made decisions, those cold, hard decisions.
Yeah.
But there are, Elliot, to your point, there are certain times where you just look at the window. Like, that's what you really do. You look
there's
at the window.
Exceptions, man.
Yeah. Are we going to close this window by trying to make a point, or are we going to keep this window open? You know, and I know there are other things that go along with that. There are other players to worry about, those things. But there's the difference that he made on the field. It's pretty hard to argue.
I completely agree. I don't, and I'm glad the front office is in a totally different place today with a different mindset. But sometimes you have to be flexible. And I understand having a module on how you want to build your team and where you want to allocate your money and the salary cap. And back then, you know, they didn't want to pay wide receivers that type of money. But people forget the backstory with that, too. T.O. had to be traded here from Baltimore. And so I don't want to put words in T.O.'s mouth or anything, but I was under the impression that maybe he took more of an Eagles favorable deal to get out of Baltimore to come here.
In the first place. Right.
Like, he didn't really get free agent market value that he would have gotten had his representation filed the paperwork and he had been a true free agent.
Right.
He would have had to pay a lot more to get T.O. because it would have been an open bidding war for him. As it was, they kind of like, okay, if you want us to trade for you, you got to take this deal, sort of.
Yeah, and you can look back and you could say the three biggest errors for the Eagles: letting Ike Reese go, letting Brian Dawkins go, letting T.O. go.
In that order, too.
In that order. That's the Mount Rushmore of Joe Banner mistakes.
Well, I also think, too.
By the way, I'd have been much cheaper than either one of those two. Yeah.
Put it out there.
Yep. Should have been paid more. But I do think the Eagles front office has become more emotional than they used to be.
Yes.
Right? Like,
nice.
Just in the guys they draft. And, like, when you don't pay T.O., the message it sends to that locker room about their willingness to compete, like, you're basically trying to win a bidding war over competing. In the current Eagles locker room, they know they'll get paid.
Yep.
Like, Saquon got paid. They know the Eagles will pay the players they need to win. And I think that's the other part of the T.O. thing, too. How did that locker
room? That's Howie, man. That's Howie Roseman, man. That's Howie.
But
understand.
I think he's learned from watching.
And Jeffrey.
I agree.
Yes. Jeffrey being willing to cut those checks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. But stressing the importance of keeping those caliber of players.
Yep.
Those caliber of players. You don't let that caliber of talent.
Well, but I think
I can understand letting me walk. You can't let T.O. walk.
I mean, even outside of just that, I think there is an emotional part to the locker room the Eagles are better at reading than they used to be.
Yeah, I think,
agree with
by
that.
By the way, I think it's the whole organization top to bottom. I think when these are people that the public doesn't hear about, but even Don Smolenski has made the organization more, not just more player-friendly, but more fan-friendly, I think.
Yep.
And their whole attitude toward everything changed in over the last, you know, 15 years or so.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And the only guy that hasn't gotten paid in that Eagles locker room, and I'm about ready to have a fit, is Reed Blankenship. Poor guy is a captain playing on the last year of his deal.
Well, he got new representation the other day.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I didn't see
that. A big agent.
Well, if you got new representation, that means a phone call is getting made.
Yeah. Yes.
It also probably means a deal isn't happening.
Yes.
If there was a deal to be done there, I think he'd have the same agent.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. He's like, hold on, you're not getting a deal.
Yeah,
man.
This new agent, he's like, all right, let's focus on next offseason.
So here's what we have coming up at McGurk's in Royers Ford is Terrell Owens. So, Terrell, coming up next, T.O. will be here. Hugh Douglas will be here. Hugh and T.O. will be up here on stage with Ike, Jack, and I. Ike will be sitting in the middle. Is T.O. going to be next to me and Hugh on the other side? Is that the way we're doing it?
Yeah.
Okay, so T.O. will be right here, and Hugh will be on the other side. We will talk. It is the first time they have been face-to-face since the fight 20 years ago, which is unbelievable. Here we squash it. It is all love. We talk about the good times.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
Let's pound some beers.
Pound some beers. You kidding me?
Take it to Pound Town, baby.
Yeah. All right. That is coming up next.
Pound some Surfsides.
There you go.
Sorry about
that. That is coming up next at the Rally in Royersford at McGurk's, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.